and thank you for joining us on KVCR for KVC Arts. Arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming, once again exploring Jonathan Courant with the Joe Alterman Trio, live in concert, in conversation with Jonathan Courant. We'll get to some songs known from the pop world, which were transformed into jazz, but going into the program with a fun tune, even though it speaks of the loneliness of the city and the cold nature of the people there.
If ever you're restless and you're feeling low, don't think that the city is the place to go. Well, I'll tell you one thing worth thinking about. If you come in, be sure you can get back out.
One that I had a lot of fun with, and that is The Great City.
The Great City's Playboy.
The thing about this one is a great contradiction. It's a fun, swinging rhythm, but the words, the first time I ever listened to them, it's kind of a dark message. I mean, it's intended to be funny, of course. But we're talking about, yeah, okay, you think that's a place to go? No, you're wrong. You've got 10,000 people there, 10 million people there, everybody being alone. You can't wait to get out. Can you get out? There's stuff like that, which I went more and more into it as I was getting for this, but it remains a fun tune. Do you happen to know where this tune first came from, by chance? This is not one that I know of, you know, historically. I just know it as a tune.
Right, and it's not over-covered. This is another one that Joe and I both heard from Les, and other singers have recorded it, Shirley Horn. Nancy Wilson has also done this one, several, not too many, but it is kind of a beatnik kind of lyric of, you know, how the city can chew you up and spit you out. And yes, the original lyric was 10,000 people, and I say, well, that's changed. Let's update that to 10 million. But it's a lot of fun to sing, and I think the first time Joe and I ever played together in 2012, this was in the set list because he loved the tune and he was surprised that I knew it or had it in my repertoire. He was like, oh man, you do that. Let's throw that one in. So,
oh, sweet. Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, and we played it in New York so that all the New Yorkers in the audience could totally get the memo of that song, right?
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, anywhere you sing that one, people would have fun with it. But yeah, in New York, it'll be a stamp of pride. I need to track down Joe's recordings and get him on the show at some point.
I can connect you.
Oh, thank you. I think any time that I've heard him play, or in some cases seen him play, it's been with you. And so as a supporting act, a phenomenal person, because he's not just, you know, supporting you. He's bringing his own thing in, but still performing behind the singer. I don't know. It's hard to put into words right now.
Well, he's totally his own musician. You know, he is a leading man. He's not a side man. But when we come together, there's a, you know, mutual respect. We both give each other space to shine, but we also do play on each other a lot. And just, like I said, we're backstage laughing. We go on stage, we're laughing. We come off stage, we're laughing. It's just a lot of smiles and a lot of joy.
That great big city, 10 million people, and you're standing alone. Oh, in that great city. But I know I'm gonna see my name in lights on Broadway. On Broadway. On Broadway. Using the phone booth, making a few calls, doing weird things, using the booth walls. Got me a big date, waiting for my chick, putting her face on so she can look slick. Oh, I enjoy procrastinating, cause I'm busy while I'm waiting, doodling away.
Doodling. Now, gosh, you as a vocalist, him as a pianist. This is another one. Doodling is another one which first appeared on the release On and On, and I think we spoke about, or at least around this, a few years ago when you first sent that to me, along with your really wonderful Christmas release, Christmas Wish. I really love Horace Silver, whether it's his time with the Jazz Messengers and really well beyond. This is how I first came to know and love Doodlin'. And then as the jazz host at WKMS in Murray, Kentucky, I came across many tunes that we spoke about this earlier. They were giants in the world of instrumental music, and then along comes John Hendricks and makes it yet another way to enjoy this tune. Jonathan, as a singer, do you find yourself listening more to songs, you know, that is singers rather than instrumentalists? Or is it just really across the board as far as you, just personal listening, I suppose?
It depends on my mood. I mean, sometimes I don't want to hear a lyric at all, and sometimes that's all I want to hear. I like it all. This tune is so much fun to sing, though. I mean, you can just have such a ball with it, and it's another quirky story. But again, with the idea of I wanted to put a live version, that album On and On came out years ago, and one of the things I love in my listening experience, like listening to, you know, Carmen McRae do something in her 30s, you know, or 20s or whatever, and then hear her do it in her 50s or 60s or 70s, and see how the song has evolved in that time and how she's got to know it in a different way, or how the arrangement has changed, or how her phrasing has changed, or I love how songs like that evolved, and this is one that I've sung a lot, and it has evolved for me, and we had to have some blues on the album, so sure. You can't lose with the blues, but it's, I just love that comparison of listening to an artist do something when they first recorded it, and then listening to it several years later.
I mean, absolutely, in addition to the arrangements changing, in the case of something lyrical, one might have a word that, I mean, it means nothing to them. They can relate in no way, but they can still deliver it nicely. 30 years later, oh, they've experienced some heartbreak. They've experienced this or that. And then these words suddenly mean something else to them. And that comes across. So that's really cool. I love hearing anybody's, like, I like hearing your earliest release, well, the earliest that I have. I still don't have the one that came out of the trunk of your car. But I love hearing the earliest release of yours versus the latest release. And I do that with everybody when I'm about to interview somebody about their newest release. Whether or not I've heard of them before, I will go back to their earliest recordings and try to find that evolution, iteration, something that's changing, something that's broadening, or whatever the case is. Music from In Conversation with Jonathan Courant, once again for this edition of KVC Arts.
Thank you.
I'm David Fleming. Jonathan's most recent release is a live one with the Joe Alterman Trio, providing wonderful vocals on some old favorites and introducing us to some new ones as well.
My love has no beginning, my love has no end, no front or back, and my love won't bend. I'm in the middle, lost in a spin, loving you. And you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, don't know. You don't know how glad I...
How glad I am. Quite simply, I didn't know this tune, or at least it escaped my memory perhaps, but I absolutely love your take on it, and I almost don't want to hear other versions.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, this one, being amongst those that I know the least about, what can you tell me about it, please? How glad I am, whether it's the history of the song or your history with the song.
This song came from Nancy, and she used to close her shows with it a lot of the time. Nancy Wilson, I think, recorded, I think it was 1964, and I think she won her second Grammy for this song. Mm. So that's who I, of course, heard it first through. She originally did it as a waltz. I think Aretha Franklin also recorded it, and I think David Bowie. But this version is based off an arrangement that she gave me, that she changed it and gave it more of this 6-8 gospel feel later in her career. And we took that arrangement and kind of played around with it. And but it's very similar to the way she was doing it later in life.
You don't know just how glad I
Another one of the wonderful covers that you do in here, Everybody's Talking. The original of this from Fred Neil, I went back to listen to it. It seems vaguely familiar, but it was absolutely swallowed up, just overshadowed, does not cover it, the following year by the Harry Nilsson version from Midnight Cowboy and all.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind.
With you, I've just always loved the way that you take not just the jazz standards, but you're taking pop radio hits and turning them into a really cool jazz tune. A lot of these are light 70s pop. We've talked about James Taylor. We'll get to Elton John in a second here. What's the hardest edge thing that you have transformed or thought about transforming? Like, you know, I mean, a rockin' tune that you've backed down to be a gentle or swinging jazz thing.
Yeah, I love doing that, and I love the challenge of figuring out how to make it work.
And you're great at it.
I think the three that would stand above the rest, and I love pulling songs from other genres and times, not only for my own creativity and fun and playfulness, but, you know, it also brings people in the audience that maybe aren't as familiar with that old standard that you're doing. Maybe it brings them into like, oh, well, I remember that. I remember playing in Mexico once and somebody coming up to me. I'd done a song by the Animals.
Huh.
And they said, you know, I used to get up on bar stools and rock out to that song. I never knew what it meant until you sang it. And at this point in my life, I don't really want to rock out like that. I want to hear something more meaningful. So that was a great compliment. But I think the three that stand above any of the others I've recorded like that are Tina Turner's Simply the Best, Smokey Robinson's Tracks of My Tears, and Buffalo Springfield for What It's Worth.
It's music from Jonathan Courant with the Joe Alterman Trio live in concert in conversation with Jonathan Courant. I really love each and every disc from Jonathan, which has come my way, and this one is no exception. More at jonathancourant.com, and more music and conversation with Jonathan as KVC Arts continues. Back now with KVC Arts, I'm David Fleming. On this edition of the program, I'm speaking once again with Jonathan Courant about the 2025 release Jonathan Courant with the Joe Alterman Trio Live in Concert, a collection of jazz standards brought in by Jonathan and Joe, and some tunes from the pop world as well, which may feel like any of your favorite standards.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide. I don't have much money. Oh, if I did, I'd buy a big house where we both could live.
We mentioned Elton John a second ago. Another pop monster from 70s AM would be Elton John's Your Song, one of just many, many brilliant Bernie Taupin collaborations. This is another one which I think is great for live performances. The way it starts, you know, this vamp that Joe gives us, you could just as well be getting ready to go into Battle Hymn of the Republic or something, okay? And then suddenly, it's a little bit funny. And then, oh my God, suddenly it's a tune that everybody knows whether they meant to or not. And I'm going to say, I feel the audience at the Smith Center that night were slightly slow in picking up what it was. You had to finish the second line, this feeling inside, before they started clapping in recognition.
Right.
Or is this the retake that you're talking about?
Oh, no, that wasn't the retake. No, okay, the retake was I forgot the words halfway through and we had to start it over. Oh. I won't use a cheat sheet. I won't read lyrics. Good. I want them to come from my heart, not from a page. I dropped the line, though, and we had to restart this one. This is one Joe brought, and this is the first time I had ever sung it was that night.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we ran it once or twice the day before, but I had never sung this. That's probably why I dropped the lyric. But Joe wanted to do this one, and he came up with that funk groove. And, yeah, it came off really soulful and sweet. And also another one I had never performed was that Nutty Professor song.
Oh.
We've Got a World That Swings. That was a new one.
Oh, my gosh. You would have thought that that came from something that you relied on, something you'd been doing forever. Oh, that's fun. Oh, really fun.
Yeah, I think Tall Hope also. That one got pulled in at the last minute. So those three were songs that I had never taken the stage.
Wow. Wow. Do you, by chance, where you dropped the lyrics, was it by chance a few of these verses, well, they've got me quite cross, something like that, where you're talking about the words themselves and you lost the words? Just would have been
I think it was the second verse, so that is somewhere around there, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what, this has got to be the funnest part of your jazz renditions of a song, you know, well known in other genres or spaces, times and places, you know, that moment when they do get it. Like, you're delivering a song and just waiting. You're singing it, but inside you're waiting. Okay, when are they going to get it? When are they going to get it? And then they suddenly realize, oh my God, that's the Willy Wonka thing or whatever it is, you know? Wow.
You can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple now that it's done. I hope you don't mind. Hope you don't mind. Then I put down in words how wonderful life is while you're in the world. How wonderful life is while you're. Tell me tomorrow to settle for small. I'm riding the tall hope right now. One, two, three, four. I'm riding the tall hope. The ship that I call hope has got me in the bow. Come tell me tomorrow to settle for small hope. I'm riding the tall, tall hope right now.
Tall Hope. We already mentioned that this recording of a concert is what the concert was, start to finish, and you closed the night with it, and it worked great. You know, you're introducing the band and everything. It works wonderfully as a closer, too, because as a listener, it starts off so calm and reflective, just for that opening bit, and then, well, you count it off, and then the tempo picks up.
You can tell me tomorrow, eliminate all hope.
I used to love the Bobby Darin take on this, and so I was excited to see this one on the bill. Yours is definitely a jazzier take, and I think at the beginning, sultrier, I should say, as well. And then once it picks up, I think your tempo on vocals may be close to what it used to be from Darin, but it's really the instruments behind it which makes it more jazz. And that's something that I'm still trying to figure out right now. So is this your arrangement, Joe's, or maybe something the two of you played with together before coming up? We're talking about Tall Hope here.
This is one I picked. I picked it because I wanted to leave the listener with a positive message at the end of this show or the end of the album. But also, because Joe and I, when we're together, we just create such joy, I also just wanted to leave in a joyful, hopeful way, because that's kind of the vibe that we tend to give off.
Well, it's a great closer for a number of reasons, and that's yet another one in there.
You can tell me tomorrow to settle for small home. I'm riding the tall, tall home right now. Come and tell me tomorrow, eliminate all home. I'm riding the tall, tall home right now. Thank you all so much. Once again, Kevin Kanner, Mike Garola, Joe Alterman. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you all.
Tall Hope, Jonathan Krant and the Joe Alterman Trio. That one closed this album, which came out in September of 2025. And Jonathan has another release coming out this September with and for Diane Shore.
I'm not feeling like I usually do. I think it might have something to do with you. Every time you're near me, my body gets hot. Don't need no doctor, I know what I got.
I caught a touch of your love.
It came on overnight.
I must have held you too tight last night.
A peek at your new album that's scheduled for September, and now the first single from that album. It couldn't be more recent as far as from a listener's perspective. Caught a Touch of Your Love. Now that one came out May 15th. Is this the one you were teasing with Diane with a Facebook post or Instagram?
Yes, possibly. The whole album is a tribute to Diane Shore, but not only to her, it's also a tribute to our friendship and, as she says, the passing of the torch to the next generation of jazz artists, as she's retired recently. So it's kind of a heart project for me because it really was a collaboration with her, and it really reflects, yes, a tribute to her and her work and her legacy. But also this close friendship, I mean, we've become like best friends over the past 10 years, and a mentorship that's been incredible. And at times it can still feel like kind of surreal because, you know, growing up, I used to listen to her CDs. So to grow up and be, you know, going out to lunch with her and talking to her on the phone all the time and hanging out and running over to the studio and, you know, running over to run an errand or just, you know, whatever. It's just a kind of a surreal thing to have that kind of friendship.
And now it's not just a friendship of, oh, this famous person, this singer that I've always... She's a friend. She's something you'll go get celery with or whatever. Celery? Why did that
right.
come up?
You well, know? Not we don't have celery. We'll go have like chocolate lava cake together.
Okay,
or,
there we go.
This song, though, Caught a Touch of Your Love, we were driving down the street, and as we were thinking of which songs through her legacy, I really didn't... You know, sometimes people put out a tribute album and you're like, well, why didn't they do these two that were the hits? You know, so I really wanted to do a couple that were maybe obscure, but I really wanted to do the songs that people associate with her. So that's what we did. And we were driving down the street and this song, Caught a Touch of Your Love, was originally on her Live with the Count Basie Orchestra, she won a Grammy for. And I think it was on top of the Jazz Billboard charts for 33 weeks. So actually, it was her idea. I was asking her, which one do you think we should do as a duet? She said, let's do Caught a Touch of Your Love. So Ray Charles brought this song to her and encouraged her to record it, and she did. And it's so fun and so playful to play off of her. And then the album features her signature song, Louisiana Sunday Afternoon. Mm. It features What a Difference a Day Makes, New York State of Mind.
Oh, wow.
You'll See, Meet Me Midnight, which is a song Barry Manilow wrote for her. And then she closes the album with a beautiful, probably the most heartfelt recording of I'll Be Seeing You that I've ever heard.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Incredible. Oh, this is something to look forward to. And this, again, is going to be released September 11th. But you mentioned we're going to have quite a lead up to this. And this one has just, I guess, let's say, just started with this one that came out a few days back on May 15th. Now you're going to have something continuously until this release, yes?
Right. Each month, another single will come off of it. So there'll be four singles in total. And then the full album drops September 11th. And it's Full Circle to Diane Shore with love, Jonathan Courant.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's really sweet. That's just like
a note
she left.
She also named it Full Circle and wrote the liner notes for the inside. And it features a host of extraordinary musicians. Tamir Handelman did all the arrangements, and we worked together on tweaking them and just really honing in and fine-tuning everything. I can't wait to share the full album.
Fantastic.
Baby, baby. Caught a touch from the top of my head to my toes.
Well,
touch of your love, touch of your love.
I knew this would be fun. I enjoy hanging with you and speaking to you and getting inside these things. It's the beauty of what I'm able to do is that if I'm listening to something, I go, oh, gosh, why did that? Oh, you know what? I'll just ask him on Thursday. Okay. So anyway, it was great to get ready.
Wonderful.
For this.
It's always a pleasure speaking with you, and I appreciate you very much. Thank you for having me.
For this edition of KVCR, it's been music from and conversation with Jonathan Courant. The main focus was on the 2025 release Jonathan Courant with the Joe Alterman Trio live in concert, available at jonathancourant.com and many online music services. Be sure to be on the lookout for Jonathan's next release coming out in September of 2026. You can follow Jonathan on Facebook, Instagram, X, and TikTok, or again, jonathancourant.com. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Jonathan Courant, and here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Jessica Greenwell, and Sharina Watt. Many past shows can be found through Spotify, iTunes, NPR One, or many other podcast sites, and most past shows are at kvcr.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support.